Hey everyone, welcome to Masterclass 5. Awesome to be here with you. I feel like it looks super dim to me. It could be because the sun's coming in. I've been trying to turn, oops, hang on. Turn that light on and off and see if I can get that brighter. It's a bit better. Except I'll probably lose it now. I've got a hot water bottle on me. It is so cold in Sydney. It's like just autumn suddenly. All right. Welcome to Masterclass 5. I'll find my center and get myself organized. I can see I've got a few people here. If you're here with me, say hello. I'd love to know who's here with me today. All right. So at this point, we are halfway through in terms of the masterclasses because I've got 10 that I wanted to teach you and we're up to number 5 today. And the way that I designed this program is that, and I said this to a lot of you when we had discovery calls, that I started off the journey with a lot of the inner work principles because I wanted to prepare you energetically, emotionally, and mentally for the journey ahead and to clear out what has been up until this point stopping you, because you had each come into this journey with things that were getting in your way. And we've looked at that a lot over the past couple of months. Just want to make sure you guys can hear me because I've got a few people here. If you're here, just say hi to me and let me know you can hear me. Tash and Rhodes, beautiful. Oh, congratulations. Oh, you, Mel saying hi to Tash and Rhodes. I love that person, Tash saying hi. I got modeled. Hi, Mel. Beautiful to see you. Mel, I know you've been processing a lot through March. We've all been processing a lot through March. Wow. You know, I think a lot of us got a bit derailed. Emotionally and energetically with everything that was coming up to be cleared that month. But there is such different energy in the air. I know it may take some of you time to feel it and anchor into it, but there's really different new energy coming through in April. But we've had to be really ruthless at kind of looking at, okay, what still needs to be cleared out so I can step into now what I'm ready to step into. We know where we're being called. We know what we're being asked to do. And we've been preparing for that in the first 3 months of this year. So I get it. If there's been big stuff going on, I think a lot of us collectively have been feeling it. I most definitely have. When it comes to this masterclass today, and what I want to teach you is that the focus I'm taking now is a little bit more on some practical principles. Wow. Sorry, I struggle with these retainers in when I'm trying to talk and teach, but I need to keep them in. So I apologize for the lispiness. There's practical components that I had wanted to teach through this mastermind on top of just the inner work principles. And I'm aware at this point of the course, sometimes we can get a bit of a split because everyone's in different places around this. Say, for example, today's class, which is about building a platform and calling in your tribe, some people are already doing that. Some people have already established beautiful platforms and beautiful communities, whereas for some of you, you haven't as yet. And that's going to be a new step and a new area and an out of comfort zone area for you. So at this point, we are going to notice that everyone's at different stages and that's got to be okay. Please don't worry if you feel like someone's further ahead in that particular area than you. It's not about that at all, because there's always going to be room for growth in every single area. And I'll make sure I talk about this in a lot of different ways so that everyone at each stage can relate to it. But today, ultimately, what I'm going to be talking about is this idea of building a platform. And when we talk about a platform, you know, we might typically think, oh, an Instagram account or social media or a podcast or a website, they're all platforms. And I don't want to get too caught up in what is the platform you want to use and too much into the specifics of the platform. I want to talk more broadly from the idea of the purpose of this platform and what it is and why you're creating it and why we want to do a whole class around this. Because the whole purpose of, let me just put this hot water bottle down for a minute. The whole purpose of this for me is to support you to bring yourself out into the world. That's the purpose of your platform. The purpose of your platform is to have a space out in the world where you can be seen and heard for who you are, for what you want to share, for what you're here to contribute, for what you want to offer, for the community you want to connect with. And it doesn't matter what that platform looks like. It doesn't matter how big it is, how pretty it is, whatever. It's honoring what you have to share and no longer hiding it in and keeping it to yourself, but bringing it out and sharing it and creating some type of platform and then calling in some type of community to for you to share that with, for you to experience that with, for you to bring out who you are with. So yeah, I don't want anyone to get too caught up in whether or not you do or don't have a platform and what the platform will be and what maybe someone else has already established and you haven't established. It's not about that. I want you to really tune into, even just think at the moment, what is ready to be more expressed and seen and heard? What parts of you? What messages? What wisdom? What gifts? What sides of yourself? What conversations? What do you feel? What are you feeling called to bring out? To express, share, reveal, show to the world, teach. And all we're doing in this class is looking at, okay, beautiful, what platforms do I need to create or how can I use my existing platform to do that? That's how I really want to simplify it. So, I mean, that's the purpose. We're going to start looking at a couple of the practical things over the next few classes around how I can get you moving forward and bringing stuff out. Because, yeah, this class and next class are going to be talking a bit about, you know, being seen and heard, being visible. We'll be working through some of that stuff. You may have an existing platform, but you might notice, you know what, I'm playing kind of small there, or I'm hiding there, or I'm not really connecting with my community in the way I want to be connecting with them. I'm not being truly authentic. I'm not really showing whatever side of myself it is. I'm not posting as consistently as I want, or not posting as deeply as I want, or whatever it is. Or maybe there's a new platform you want to create. Do you want to set up a podcast? Do you want to start doing more video-based stuff? Is it about YouTube? Is it about other video things? Or is this platform idea totally new to you and you're ready to begin to bring out what you have been incubating within? I had an interesting experience with this last week. Oh my God, I'm losing track because I was up in Queensland and I don't even know when that was. Last week, I think. So my one place, I think I've said this to you all before, my one place that I haven't stretched into is live video because it terrifies me. And I know that I'm hiding in that area. And there's aspects of me that my community aren't seeing because I'm not letting that side of me be visible. What's really interesting of what I noticed is, say, in these more contained, safe communities, you're really seeing me. Like, I'm teaching in a way in here that my wider community haven't seen this part of me. That's really showing up very differently. Anyway, so last Monday, I think it was, the feeling was I just had to get on live. And I did two Instagram lives. I broke through my fear and did this Instagram live. And so many people messaged me and were just like, Connie, oh my God, I've never seen you so powerful. I've never seen you so articulate. I've never seen you bring out your message like this. And I'm like, oh, well, that's interesting because I'm doing it all the time in my private classes, but I haven't brought it out publicly. And that was terrifying. I psyched myself up to it for about an hour, pacing up and down my Airbnb. I don't want to do it. I can't do it. Sitting down, about to press record, go live. I can't. And then I walk off, have my process, come back. Come on, Connie, go to press it. I can't. Go up again. And like, I was really having to face like around this. Like, I have a beautiful platform, but there are spaces where I'm hiding and there are spaces where I'm not letting my community truly see my wisdom, my power, and my gifts. And I blasted through that last week and that was massive for me. So it doesn't matter where you're at. There's always going to be room to grow in whatever platform you're creating or in setting up a platform and starting to finally let this aspect of you be seen. But I was feeling really inauthentic, I think, because I'm teaching everyone about break through your fear and be visible. And I'm like, come on, Con, there's a place where you know you're not doing this. Show up. It was phenomenal. It was the most liberating thing I ever did. I felt so alive afterwards. That's how we feel when we break through fear. We come so alive as a result. So I take you through some practical kind of questions in the workbook around, you know, what platform would you like to create to share yourself, your ideas, your wisdom, your words and creations? If you already have a platform, what are you wanting to do with this existing platform? Is there anything you're wanting to change? Is there a new platform you want to create? It can be anything. A platform could even be live events. It doesn't have to be online. It could be, I know Mel's talked about creating things with women, circles with women. That's still a platform for you to, a space for you to bring out who you are. Even if you are initially keeping it private, a platform could be a Word document where you're jotting down all your channel pieces of writing. That's something that I do. That's still a platform for me to bring myself out. And then the next step is to make that more public. But we need to create these spaces now for things to come out. Hi, Marnie. I love that so much, Connie. You can so relate to the video aspect. I'm terrified of live video. Oh, it was terrifying. But I can imagine how much freedom comes from it. You know, and I realized it's so interesting because you get to look at, in these moments, what is the fear really about? So I was processing it. I'm like, Connie, why are you so afraid? And the fears that I had were, I'm not going to know what to say, like I'm going to go blank. It's going to come out really inarticulately, if that's the word. And people are going to be able to see in my face how scared I am. And that makes me feel vulnerable. I don't want people to see that I'm scared. I want them just to see me like more confident. So it's actually quite, I mean, I wish I didn't know how to say videos at the time, so I couldn't say them. But if you watch the very first one, you can see the fear in my eyes. Like I was dripping with sweat and terrified. But I think what made me feel so free was like, wow, people got to see me there looking scared, being inarticulate and admitting how terrified I was. And at times not really being able to get the words coming out the way that I wanted. And then I came on the second video and I was just on fire and I was like in the zone and I was great. But it's actually interesting if you're hesitating in anything around your platform, anything around being seen and heard, really drill down into like, what is the fear here? And literally, and no one likes to hear this, the only way to break through the fear is to do the very thing you're being called to do that will allow you to go beyond that fear and face that fear and step into that fear. And I said this in the live, I was like, I'm being called into this because it's the only way I can break through this fear. There's no other way to break through it except to just step in, step into the fire. And I'm going to say that to all of you. Look at where you're hesitating at the moment, whatever your platform is or whatever, however you're wanting to bring out your message. I know this is hard, but the very thing you don't want to do is the exact thing you have to do. We can sit here and journal about the fear till the cows come home. Until you step into it, you're not going to break through it. And that's hard. And I knew that with live. I was like, the only way you're going to get over this is you just step into it. And what's the worst that happens? People see you looking a bit clumsy, whatever. The guy that I was dating logged on and I was like, no, don't watch me. Like, it makes me feel so insecure. But I was like, breathe it in, Connie. This is the experience. You are being seen and heard in this moment. Own it. Just let it be. Be seen and heard in all of your messiness. I ask you here as well, what's the purpose and intention of your platform? So maybe if you have an existing platform, revisit some of these questions. What is the purpose and intention of it? Why have I created this platform, or why do I want to create it? Whether it's a YouTube channel, a podcast, an Instagram account, Facebook account, website, blog, live events, whatever it is you want to create. What's the purpose and intention behind it? Is it to uplift, inspire, to express yourself, to be creative, for the community, to help people? You know, I realized for mine, so much of the purpose of my platforms is my own self-expression. It's a bit of both for me. So much even of creating these courses is absolutely to support and empower you, but so much of this is to continue to liberate myself from my own fear of being seen and heard. When I have to show up and run masterclasses and run group coaching calls, hang on a minute. It's went a bit dim. I am having to face, I just feel like it's going a bit dim. There's nothing I can do. I'm having to face my fear of being seen and heard on a consistent basis. I'm locking myself into things that are going to make me show up. They're going to make me learn how to get better at this and overcome it. It's really annoying me. Sorry, friends. I'm premenstrual, so little things are bothering me. Oh, it's doing it again. oh, I think as the sun's coming in, there's not much I can do. I'm sure everyone's like, Con, we don't even notice, but it bothers me. I'm OCD about lighting. I'm literally like day 20 at 27 of my cycle, so you know what it's like, women. So my purpose of my platforms is very often to share my message and actually I realize what it is, share my message and journey so that other people feel less alone. I like to share things that help people realize they're not alone. Other people are feeling what they're feeling. I like to give messages that help people make sense of what they're feeling. Because you know when you're going through stuff and you're like, oh my God, I'm crazy. And then I can put out an Instagram post and you can be like, oh, I'm not so crazy. It's just that I'm moving through this. I really like being able to offer that to people through my platform and to share my journey so people feel less alone in what they're moving through and have a role model of someone that can help support them. But a lot of it's just my selfish need to constantly be self-expressed. Selfish need, I don't think that's the right language, but my constantly pushing myself to be self-expressed, basically. Can you give me one sec? Sorry, this is really irritating me. Hold on. Oh, you guys, you must get so tired of me. Come back, lighting, be bright. It's a bit better. Okay, soz. I'm keeping it real. Okay, so reflect on that with your platform. Maybe the purpose of it for you and the purpose of it for your community. I ask you here as well, what are your starting steps to create this platform, or what steps will help you expand the platform you already have? So if you haven't created one as yet, list out some of the steps you need to take to set that up. If you have one already, how would you love to expand it? Like I know for me, the continuing the live video is part of my expansion. I've also come back from Burley with 2 photo shoots. I haven't even had a chance to go through my photos yet, but a lot of new photos I can use. So now it's about being much more visible and posting consistently because I've created a backlog of images I can use. So I can see even for me, no matter how established you are, there's still always steps I can take to expand. And I would encourage you to think about that. What's that expansion going to look like for you at the moment? Or what are the starting steps for you to begin to create this? And do you have any fears, doubts, worries, or insecurities that are blocking you in this area at the moment? Probably. I constantly do. With everything I put out in the world, I'm constantly having to break through another level or layer of fear or doubt or insecurity. And again, I think the only way we move through this is just through stepping right into it. Stepping through the very thing, stepping into the very step that will allow us to move through the very thing that's stopping us. I don't know. I mean, like, you can do inner work on this really for a long time, but you're not going to break through it until you just have the courage to step right in. I learned that last week. I really did. Because I've been doing inner work with my inner child around my visibility blocks for years. But I moved through, I blasted through a block in 10 minutes by having the courage to step into the very thing that's saving the most. So have a look at what might be stopping you, but then maybe reflect on, okay, then what's the step I need to take then to move beyond that? And what we need to be able to do is become much more comfortable with being uncomfortable. Because this is the reason we hesitate from all this stuff that makes us be seen and heard and expand and, you know, really share ourselves in bigger ways, is it's uncomfortable sometimes. We feel the discomfort of other people's judgment, other people's disapproval, other people's misunderstanding, other people's maybe tearing us down, whatever it is. And because it's uncomfortable, whatever is getting activated there, we shy away from it. And all growth is uncomfortable, I believe. And I think when we're feeling too comfortable, we're stagnating. And if we can find the place that feels the most uncomfortable, there's the place that contains the most growth for us. So it's actually looking for areas of discomfort and leaning into them. And being able to hold and feel the discomfort and breathe into it and not run away. Like, I know that fight or flight feeling really well. I wonder if any of you get that. I had it on the live. I'm like, just always fight or flight. Ooh, Kate, good question. I feel like I'm unclear on what partners the discomfort. I know I have blocks around being seen and making my voice heard. I'm really lost as to how I'm holding myself back. Okay, just tell me so far, what is your awareness? So when you say, I know I have blocks around being seen and heard, being seen and making my voice heard, just tell me so far, what's your awareness around those blocks or where you're noticing those blocks present? Let's unpack this a little bit. I'm happy to chat this out with you, Kate, if you want to let me know. People pleasing. Who? So needing to be a certain way to make people happy? This is really good, like, because sometimes, to Kate's point, friendships more than anything. And so how does that hold you back at the moment? Yeah, so Marnie says she can relate. So, and again, so let's just unpack this a little bit. So being seen and having your voice heard, is this playing out in how you would show up? I can hear myself saying things that aren't in my truth to make them comfortable. Beautiful. So that's interesting when you said before, I'm lost as to how I'm holding myself back. Well, here's exactly how you're holding yourself back. You feel your truth of what you want to say or how you want to be, and then you hold that back, and instead you say the things that make them comfortable. Does that play out anywhere for you in your work, or is this primarily in personal relationships? Ooh, what am I hearing? Hang on, let me mute someone. Who am I?
Oh, that was me. Sorry, Tony.
Oh, you're coming on to talk to me.
Apparently I am.
Cool. All right.
I don't even know how that happened, but I might just shut my window because I have a little bit of road noise.
The universe is like, all right, guys, you're going to talk about it.
That's so funny.
Kate, is this playing out in your business or just in personal relationships?
I feel like there is a block inside my business and I feel like it's related to this, but I think this is the part where I feel unclear.
Okay. What's your awareness at the moment around how it might be related to your business or playing out in your business? If you were to just sort of take a guess at what you're doing.
It's an intuitive feeling, and it's definitely guidance that I constantly get is, that I need to not be afraid to be heard. I feel like my neighbor's mowing the lawn. I feel like there's a part of it that is, it's me. It's this, I think it's the same people pleasing thing and overanalyzing what people think of me, yeah, or like how I will be received.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like for example, on social media, on Instagram a couple of weeks ago, I shared a post that had a photo of a friend, like myself and a friend from inside our community who is gay, and she's in like an interracial couple, and she always talks to me about, you know, the things that she faces. And I put a post up about how she's teaching me to be more accepting, and how as a middle-class white woman, how unaware I've been, and like that I really appreciate her friendship. And I just got like bashed. So like I had to delete so many comments. I got private messages, like all of this stuff. And I was like, it just, I know that I was being a little bit more vulnerable in sharing that part of it. And yeah, I know this ties into what the whole thing is about anyway, about being a privileged white woman. But it just, it unpacked that whole thing for me of like exposing part of myself and the way that it's received. And do I really want to open myself up to that?
Yeah, again, I'm coming back to what you said around I'm doing what makes people comfortable.
Definitely.
And in that moment, you're like, no, 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 this is something that's really important to me. I'm going to honor that above making other people comfortable. And then some people got triggered, which they often do when you stand for something, you know, yeah. When you stand for something really important. And that you, I think that's the area where you're holding back. I mean, I can relate to that. We color a little bit within the lines to ensure that we're pleasing our community and saying things that will, you know, get likes and make people happy and make people want to stay around.
Yeah, definitely. Because I guess like there's that underlying fear of like, I still want to work. Like I still want to make an income and, you know, and I think that I'm probably tying that to if people don't like what I share, then they're not going to step closer.
So two things. So what does it feel like in your body? How do you notice this is playing out when you feel something you want to express, but you hold back? So if you were to create a lot of awareness around what that pattern looks like when it plays out, what goes on in your mind or your body?
I overanalyze. So it's all in my head. Yeah, and it's like a, I mean, the sensation in my body is like upward chest, like almost an anxiety sort of feeling, which to me is like whenever I have anxiety, there's some type of resistance.
Okay, and then in the situation where you stepped through that and you did really share something that was super important to you, how did you move through or override that feeling, that little hesitation that was there?
I think like reflecting on that particular situation, I feel like it was my energetic state at the point. Like I was feeling really strong. Like I was feeling really stable and grounded and, you know, it came from a real stability as opposed to when I'm maybe a little bit more, I guess less grounded is probably the easiest way to explain it. But yeah, I think that that's more what it was.
I love that. I'm hearing the word certainty, and I feel like when we really can land on our truth and we feel very grounded and embodied in it, and in that moment we're very aligned as well, so we're not up in the head overthinking it. We're just like, oh, I feel that. It's in my body and I feel really grounded and certain in what I want to share. I'm still uncertain how it's going to be received, but I'm certain that this is my truth in this moment. I think ultimately that's the space we always want to be sharing from. And I always notice, I mean, I know I haven't been posting much, but I definitely notice different responses in my posts based on where I'm at energetically. And sometimes when I'm actually feeling a bit wobbly, I don't know, I feel like sometimes things don't land as well when I'm not fully energetically congruent in them, which is why I'm often sharing less, because I'm really waiting until I'm like, oh, I feel this and I'm too solid in it. But I think that's actually the alignment work that happens before maybe we just be like, oh, cool, I've got to learn how to share my truth. I think it's a little bit of the really feeling into it, getting really solid in yourself. So then you can hold, even if you do get some negative responses, you can hold it because you're still rock solid in what you decided you wanted to share.
Yeah, I love that. And I guess coming back to that alignment, like having that, being in a space of alignment and being able to kind of have that conversation with yourself around what you stand for and what you believe and what you want to translate online, it's like then you know, I guess it's coming from the core as opposed to being in that less grounded state and it just ending up being a little bit flaky. It's like if you can get back to your alignment, you know what you stand for, you know what you share. Yeah. Thank you, Connie.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, and I think that's, you know, this, I'm glad we're having this conversation for everyone. I'm pretty sure everyone would be able to hear your audio coming through. No one said that I haven't been able to hear you, but I think that's why we're having this now, is because that is definitely the, if we're going to do the inner work before we're communicating, that's the inner work piece. And I even found that when I did my live last week that I was terrified, like I was shaky, but beneath it, the feeling to show up in that moment was so solid. And we know that feeling, don't we? When that feeling hits us of like, there's something to say in this moment. There's something to share. This is important.
Yeah.
I know you know that feeling.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you.
And then being able to hold energetically whatever comes back at us. They're not always easy to do, but I think that's then the work too, is how do I stay solid and grounded and not waver and become shaky because I haven't necessarily got just a positive response. There's a mixed response here.
I feel like I see that for me that comes from the conscious alignment, because I think in the past I've very much just been, I guess, like passive to the way that I'm feeling. Whereas over the past month, after listening to that epic podcast of yours, I've been so focused daily on conscious alignment. So it's like I'm here by choice, as opposed to kind of being like, oh, I feel good today. Okay, I might share this kind of thing. Like I'm understanding the power in consciously choosing to align and the clarity that comes from that.
Yeah, that is a great point. Thank you for sharing that. That's so good for everyone to be hearing that, because you're exactly right. And that's what I often do as well, is I'm waiting to feel good or feel aligned before I'll share something versus getting back in charge of that process.
Yeah. Because I found so much with having little Flinny that it's like my life is constantly reactive to him. And it's been one of my biggest challenges in becoming a mother, is like it's constant reaction. Whereas over the past month, I've been so focused on what can I do to set myself up in the state I want to be in, so that I have some power over how I feel. Yeah.
Beautiful.
I see how this is all fitting together now with where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah. That's starting to make more sense and click in for you.
Definitely.
Beautiful. Thank you for talking that out with me. That was very divinely inspired, that conversation.
Thank you.
Now do I...
I'll mute myself.
Okay. Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you, my love. Thanks. Guys, if you're here listening and you heard my conversation with Kate, let us know if you got anything out of that, because that was a really powerful conversation and I really appreciated Kate sharing that. And, you know, I wanted to have that conversation because I think a lot could be pulled out for different people. But if you got something from that, let us know, because that was beautiful. I'm pretty sure that will come through in the recording and everything. I'm pretty sure it will. But that's almost sort of what we were doing there. You're just unpacking it a little bit. Because we're all going to have these places we are holding back, and it's easy to think sometimes that we're not. Or, you know, I always am justifying to myself, no, like I'm free, I'm showing up. But, you know, even if, and again, what we sort of did there with Kate is, if you're noticing it's playing out in personal relationships, be like, interesting. Is it possible this could also be playing out in the way I'm expressing myself in my work and my gifts and what I'm doing in the world? Because usually if one thing's playing out in one area of life, it's affecting other areas. I mean, I'm doing massive work around self-expression in personal relationships at the moment, which ties in exactly to what I'm going through in my professional stuff. It all links in. So no matter where you're at, I mean, you might even begin with platform being my personal relationships. You might really think about, like, am I expressing myself fully here in each of my platforms, my personal relationships, my friendships, my family, my, you know, my social media stuff, my career? Interesting to look at. All right. I get you going through stuff around, your audience. Hang on a moment. Where am I? Just because I think we get so tripped up about audience, and similar to what Kate and I were talking about. And it's so difficult in this bloody social media structure that's all about validating you through likes. And we're so programmed and conditioned now to need and want the likes, and the likes are a sign we're doing a good thing. And we're right, and what we did was right and good. I mean, it's a crazy structure when you really think about the way it was created. It's pretty sick. But this is the world we're functioning in if we're talking about social media here. But we're also getting validation if we write a blog post, how many people clicked on it, how many people left comments, how many people shared it. If we do a podcast, I can see how many people listen to it. There is now constant information coming back, which we're internalizing as, did I do this right or wrong or good or bad or whatever it is. So where I like to focus with an audience is less on, you know, whether or not I'm getting a particular, it's difficult, but, you know, number of likes, number of comments, number of interaction, but really thinking more about who are these people, thinking about them less as numbers, more of people, more of, you know, because I get caught up on Instagram with the various people that follow me. I've got my real legitimate community of followers. Followers don't like that word, but I've also then got peers, and we all do it. We watch our peers, who can sometimes also be part of, you know, they're absorbing your message, but they're peers. And then I've got personal, which is, you know, guys that I've dated and exes and friends, and they're the people who I feel just sit there and judge me on the sidelines. So when I get a little bit rattled, I really just focus back in on, no, who are the people that are really here because they need this? They need to have their mind open, their heart open. They need support, they need reassurance. Even if it's one person that gets reassurance or comfort or some guidance out of what I offered. Like, that's what we need to, you know, we were sort of talking there about our alignment, aligning with really what's important on these platforms. I'm so glad that landed, Marnie. Mel, beautiful conversation. Yes, I think consciously making the decision on how I want to feel and taking the responsibility for my own well-being is something I really need to work on. I'm so over the pity party that I've been throwing daily for this past month. Yeah, I know this conversation around taking responsibility for our emotional state and our alignment, like sometimes it's a bit ooh, and sometimes you're like, I can't really be bothered. I want to be in my pity party a little. And we all go through various phases of that. But then sometimes it's like, nah, you know what? I'm creating my life right now. And I want to get in charge of what I'm creating. And I can create something completely different if I get back in charge of my emotional state. And I remember that I am a creator, and I remember I'm in charge of all of this, and I'm not a victim. But going back to the audience, we all need help at the moment. We all do. I mean, we are living in a pretty crazy place, this world, this online world, and there are people that need to hear what you have to say, even if it's one person. And I thought about that with my live as well when I did my live, because I kept justifying to myself, no one needs to hear this. Like, who even cares? And the energy in my belly was like, Connie, so many people need this. I did a big riff on March and April energies. I think someone in one of my other communities recorded it. So I'm going to see if I can find it and post it for you if you didn't get to see it. She recorded part of it. But people needed to hear about the March and April energies, and people, so many people messaged me and said, oh my God, thank goodness you put some words to this. And I knew I had to overcome my fear in that moment because people needed to hear what I had to say. Tash, I feel like I'm feeling like that around my birthing story and journey. Oh, I love that. I just watched, I don't know if any of you follow, she's a YouTuber called Sarah, and her YouTube is Sarah's Day, and I think she's Sarah's Day on Instagram. Yeah, maybe some of you watch it. Oh my God, I watched her birthing video and I'm sobbing. You know, I'm not even that maternal, and I was just blown away through being like, look at this woman. I mean, I've never had a child, but look at what you incredible women go through and experience to birth a baby. Like, it floored me. And I think, you know, a lot of us don't understand the incredible power. Like, I've never moved through it, but the power in your birth story and journey. Like, I didn't really get it until I watched her video. And I was like, holy crap. Like, this is epic, yeah? And I think any of you who have moved through that journey and feel like you've gained something from it, or gained wisdom, or just felt there's something to share in it, like, honor that, Tash. Yeah. Okay. After I gave birth, I was like, have you seen how amazing I am? Like, you can never question how amazing a woman is after that. Like, wowzers. I've watched that video of Sarah's a few times. I'm going to go back and watch it again. Like, it really moved me. So Tash, that is beautiful. I love that you're feeling inspired to share more about that. Everything in your journey, Mel, we've spoken about this as well. And I know you've been questioning this a little bit in yourself, but and I've said this so many times, but your journey is what qualifies you. Your journey is what qualifies you to create this platform and share your message. And your journey can be messy as fuck. It can be like dark and challenging, whatever it is, or it can be inspiring and beautiful. It doesn't matter. But particularly if we've walked a journey, we have gained wisdom and gifts and insights that we then need to find the courage to create a platform to share that through, whatever that platform is for you, even if initially it's just people who you know. But, there are, it's amazing how much, even reflect on actually what you're inspired by and what you gain value from. I can be inspired by and gain value from the tiniest of things. Sometimes just watching someone's Insta story and seeing what they had for breakfast can completely create this whole new intention for me around how I want to eat. Or someone goes to yoga and I'm like, oh, that's right. I haven't done yoga in ages. I really want to get back there. Like, we can be inspired by the smallest things and we can think that what we're sharing isn't that valuable. But we don't know. It could be the very thing one person needed to hear. And so when we focus on our audience and understand that people are coming into our community because they're needing something at this time. They're needing some support. They're needing some guidance. They're needing to find a new way to make money. They're needing to get some clarity on what's going on energetically. Mel, people need your intuitive insights to understand what they're moving through. All of you have things to contribute. And we've got to remember, as we get caught up, we're not creating, and I know none of you probably think this consciously, but we can get caught up in it. We're not creating a community because we're trying to become someone and, you know, be popular or be whatever. Although, you know, that can be programmed into us. We're creating a community because we're bringing people in who are consciously choosing to click follow and be there for us, be there with us, because they feel that there's something valuable here for them. Think about anyone you follow. This is actually an interesting exercise to do. And I thought about this when I've sometimes been doing a cleanup on Instagram. I'll look at the accounts that I choose to not unfollow when I'm like, oh, no, I don't want to unfollow that one. And I ask myself, why? Why do I want to be here? Why am I choosing to have you in my feed? And then you get an interesting insight into the psychology behind why we follow people. Is it because you like the visual inspiration of their account? Is it because they always give you a beautiful insight? Is it just because their energy inspires you? Their lifestyle inspires you? Is it because they're teaching? You know, I'm following a lot of people now around conscious relationship because I need to hear that information at the moment. And I'm following less people who are into fashion, which I used to follow because that's just triggers me. It's interesting to look at, and really when you think about, okay, what would make someone want to click follow on my account? What am I offering them? What is of value here for them? What will they gain and receive by being here? A really interesting thing to think about, because it's not just about numbers. It's a conscious choice that someone has to be in your community because they decide in themselves there's something here for me. Value, inspiration, wisdom, something uplifting, guidance, connection, whatever they're seeking. What do you feel that the people in your audience are seeking at the moment? That's why they're joining you. It's an interesting thing to reflect on. And what do you want to share with them? If you could call in the people that are really open to and ready to hear what you have to say, what do you want to tell them? I get you to kind of heartstorm here, a whole page of things that you want to be communicating, that you want to be expressing, even if they're just things that you want to express regardless of your audience, that you just want to be able to set free. Do a big kind of heartstorm around that. It's a really interesting thing to look at. I get you here also looking at social media, because social media is triggering. And I know Kate has a whole course on working through the comparison and stuff that comes up around social media. So that could be something interesting to work through if any of you struggle with that. But it's interesting just to look at, because sometimes we can have a lot of resistance to social media, which is completely valid. I really understand it. It's a crazy world. But what are your inner stories about it? Now, a story could be really legitimately that it's not right for you. And I know for some people it's not. And they don't feel like it's the place they're meant to be sharing their message. You don't have to. You really don't. All we want to do, though, is create some form of platform that allows you to connect with the people who need to hear what you want to say and the people who will want what you have to offer, whether it's a program or service, something you've made. We do need to find ways to connect with those people. And that's why sending social media is so great, because it allows you to call those people into a community and you can communicate with them on a consistent basis. But there can be ways to reframe your story around social media and make it actually be a really empowering and beautiful place to be. And if we have appropriate, oh, just lost my lighting again. If we have appropriate boundaries, and I need to work on my boundaries around this at the moment. If we have appropriate boundaries, it doesn't have to be a place that breeds toxicity and comparison. Like, you can, I think, where have I spoken about this before? Maybe on my podcast, but I spoke about it somewhere. You can cultivate a beautiful high vibe feed. You know, I even just noticed Tara Bliss the other day. Like, I think she's following less than 100 people. You know, she's got a following of about 30K, but she's following less than 100 people. She's obviously very consciously cultivated a feed that makes her feel good. And we have the ability to do that. If you want to be on social media sharing your message because you want a platform there, but you get triggered AF, follow a small number of people. Just follow people that make you feel good at the moment. You can make that platform whenever you want it to be. So look at where maybe your resistance to social media is valid. Maybe it's because you're trying to make yourself show up there in a way that doesn't feel right to you. Or maybe you're thinking social media has to be something for you that it's actually not. Tash says, wow, I love that. Is that in relation to Tara and her following? Because we totally have the ability to do that. Tash, I've been really trying to follow a lot of people to build up my personal following, and I'm not enjoying my feed as much as those I'm following don't feel as much anymore as those I'm following don't feel like my tribe. That's interesting, isn't it? I did that on Facebook actually for a while. I was making friends with a lot of people on Facebook. I did it a little while ago as part of building connections. And then I just ended up with all these friends and I'm like, who even are these people? I don't even know them. Why are they here? Same, we can try to be strategic and try to build these relationships, which it's definitely a strategy and it's a strategy that people teach, but this is where we need to come up with strategies that feel good to us. And if it's not feeling good to you and you don't feel like you're in your tribe, yeah, cool. Maybe we need to reassess that strategy and change it for a little bit. And maybe there's a different strategy that will allow you to expand your following, or maybe, you know, sometimes it's not even about expanding your following, but ensuring that you just have a really good, solid following of people who really want to be there. So it's focusing on what's the type of content I'm sharing. Is this really speaking directly to the people I want to help? If this is high value content, people will share it. People will tag their friends. People will repost it if it's really impacted them. And that can be a way to grow your community. We don't have to do it sort of through the ways that people tell us if it doesn't feel good to us. Actually, I want to read out this quote that the last time I ran this masterclass, I read it out. It's from Peter Kelly, who we all know Peter Kelly is just like the bomb when it comes to just authentically sharing yourself on social media. She's such a great role model of it. She wrote this a while ago, but I copied and pasted it because it was really, really powerful. And it's titled Peaceful Business. She said here, a few quickies for my entrepreneur buddies. If it feels gross, don't do it. Promoting, podcasting, email lists, Facebook, employees, meetings, even Instagram. You don't have to do what others do if it doesn't work for you. Ask yourself this question daily. If I didn't know how it should be done, how would I do it? Marketing is nothing more. Oh my God, I love this sentence. Marketing is nothing more than revealing your essence in the most accurate way. Marketing is nothing more than revealing your essence in the most accurate way. How well is your story being told? Are you revealing yourself or imposing information? Show people the soul of your business, entity, art, and you, whatever your product is. Stop spending your energy trying to keep up with the social media Joneses at the expense of your authenticity. You don't have to get big to be great. Big doesn't always mean great. Sometimes small is more aligned and peaceful. Don't do things just because other people in your field are. Don't want a podcast? Don't. Don't want to hang around peeps for a week at a retreat? Don't. There's no such thing as being, oh my God, these sentences. There's no such thing as being left behind when you are in your essence. There's no such thing as competition when you are in your essence. Stop reacting, start creating. I mean, like, boom, right? Like, everything in that, I'm just like goosebumps. Incredible. Incredible. I might even post it in the group. Yeah, Tash says a lot of the times I'm posting because I feel like I need to be posting something. Totally. I mean, again, I've said this a few times and I'm not saying that I'm a role model of the way to do it, but this is, I post once a month because it's I only want to post if I really, really feel it. And like I said, I'm not teaching that as a strategy. And at the moment, that's just my own personal thing because it's what is feeling right to me. And I do want to change that, but it's just, I can only do it when I really, really feel it. Otherwise, I feel like I'm doing it just because I should. And it doesn't feel good to me. So we're allowed to all find, as Peter Kelly says, our own kind of way. Tash, it's hard as I feel guilty if I'm not posting 3 times a day, which is what's encouraging our business. Yeah, wow. Yeah, like you're not working. Interesting. Yeah, okay, it's so masculine, Tash. Yeah, Marnie, that's how I've been feeling lately, is being scared of stepping back. Yeah, definitely, big time. I mean, you know, and we just talked about it, the alignment piece is everything. There's nothing actually wrong with posting 3 times a day if it feels good and aligned to you, if it feels in integrity and with what you want to do. And if you can find a way to feel super good about that, then post 3 times a day. It's no issue. It's when we disconnect from our own truth and what feels right to us, as Peter Kelly said, to do what we think we should do, the energy is just all off. And you know, I'm teaching a lot about this at the moment. The action isn't important. The energy alignment is important. It doesn't matter what steps you're taking. If they're misaligned, you're not going to get the results that you want. And yeah, there's definitely things that can happen when you step back. I mean, I find now when I post, sometimes people are like, who's this girl again? And sometimes people will unfollow me now when I post because they're kind of like, they don't remember me. They're like, who's this person again? But so what? I'm cleaning up my community. I'm like, be here if you really want to be here. If you don't want to be here, don't be here. If I'm not speaking to you and you're not picking up on my vibe, don't be here. Marnie, I feel like when I was super inspired and aligned, the post just flowed out. But lately I've felt like I need to go within a bit more to realign. Beautiful. Trust that. And look, when it comes to needing to share consistently, there are a lot of ways you can still be showing up. I mean, I personally at the moment am using stories more because I'm posting on my feed less regularly. I'm trying to show up, I'm just wanting to show up and be a lot more visible on stories or on lives. So there's a lot of ways that you can, if you want to still be visible, be doing it that maybe doesn't mean having to do 3 posts a day if that feels very forced to you. Yeah, just like when you were saying before, I totally hear your certainty when you say if you don't want to be here, yeah, if you want to be here, if you don't, don't. And that's the solidness we want to communicate from, isn't it? That's the message we send out. If you like what I'm doing, stick around. If you don't be here. Peter Kelly embodies that so well. I would go back and like read some of her posts if you haven't read her stuff lately. She's doing a bit more personal stuff, but a little further back, she's got some incredible wisdom in her posts. But what's interesting, Tash, that I'm sort of feeling is sometimes without realizing it's fear that's driving us. Almost like maybe that posting 3 times a day is coming from a space of fear. And we don't want actions, you know, that we want to create a beautiful business to be coming from fear. The energy is not aligned. And so it might need to be really sitting with, like, what feels good to me? How often do I want to post? What do I want to post about? Where do I feel the most inspired to post? Let me look at what do I feel like I should post versus what I want to post? How often should I be posting versus how often I want to post? We get to create our own rules here based on what feels good to us. And this is part of being an intuitive, tapped in, self-honoring, authentic person, being really guided from within and trusting that, really trusting that. I mean, I think I didn't post on my podcast for like 6 months And I was literally like, oh my God, peeps are going to forget about me. You know, everyone's doing podcasts now. I'm going to become invisible. No one's even going to remember me. That episode had like 4,000 listens in 24 hours. Like peeps, if people are loyal to you, they'll be loyal to you. It doesn't matter how long you take a break. If they love what you're doing, they're going to be there waiting to hear from you. Tash, I'm definitely fearful, worried about being judged by one of the girls I work with. Oh, feel that. No, you don't need to apologize, my love. She's saying, sorry, I'm talking a lot. This is the whole point. We need to talk about this. I mean, I could just sit here and teach you a class, boring. Like, let's talk about what's coming up for you. Tasha says, like, I'm not doing enough and I don't know why I care. Well, because what you want to create through this business is important to you. And often, sometimes we're taught, cool, if this is important to you and you want to be a success, follow this model. And we'll get you there. Which, yeah, makes sense, because if someone's walked the path and they've experienced success, it makes sense to follow their method. Because this means something to you, Tash. All of this means something to all of us. That's why we're doing whatever we're doing, because we do want to succeed at it. We do want to make an impact. We do want to make money. We do want to grow. But it takes so much courage to ensure we're doing it in a way that feels really aligned. Now, maybe there's a middle ground for you at the moment. Maybe it's not like completely throwing the baby out with the bathwater and ditching their approach, but maybe we can just modify it a little so it feels a little better to you. Sometimes we can take what's worked for other people, but then tweak it a little so that it just sits well for us. And maybe as well, if you feel like someone's challenging you a little around or judging you for how you're choosing to run your business, sometimes that's a lesson for us in just really standing in our power and being like, I totally get what you're saying that I need to be posting 3 times a day. But right now for me, you know, all I can do is one, or all I can do is 3 times a week. And I'm going to make sure they're really beautiful, high quality posts that really connect with my audience. That's how at the moment I'm just going to do that for a little bit because that feels right to me. I'm just going to see how I go with that. We sometimes need to stand in our power and just have that courageous conversation to let someone else know where we're at and to really trust yourself. And I think social media and building platforms, it's all just experimenting. I am constantly just experimenting, being like, how does this land? How does that land? Do people like this? And seeing your community as a group of people to get to know your audience. Maybe do polls sometimes. I know a lot of people do polls on Instagram to get feedback. You want to see posts about food. You want to see posts about, you know, motivational quotes. You want to see stuff about my life and how I'm living. Get to know your audience. It's similar to what Peter said here around, are you revealing yourself or imposing information? And I think it's interesting sometimes we can think what we want to put out there and can just sort of be throwing this information at our audience. But do we know and understand our audience and what they really want to hear from us? And I know for me, you know, I will have a lot of hesitation around sharing my channel stuff. And what's allowed me to feel more confident is that the feedback I get of like, Connie, please more. We want more of that. And I go, oh, okay, cool. The feedback helps me with information on what really resonates with my community. So it's both trusting yourself, but then also really getting to know the people who are here and why they're there and what they want from you can be, you know, a really beautiful thing to do. And I love what, you know, I've got this whole piece here in the workbook about authenticity, but what Peter said here is so perfect. There's no such thing as being left behind when you are in your essence. There's no such thing as competition when you are in your essence. Marketing is nothing more than revealing your essence in the most accurate way. I actually think like we can't fully show up properly until we really know ourselves. Sometimes it's a journey of really actually reflecting and being like, what is my essence? What does make me unique? What does set me apart? What is my own journey that I've walked and the messages I can extract from that? What am I passionate about? What is moving through me that needs to be shared? I mean, I personally don't love that a lot of my work is about energy forecasting. I think I've said this before. Look, I would love to be able to do just more like personal development stuff, but the stuff that moves through me is all energy forecasts and collective energy messages. And I'm just like, okay, I've had to surrender to that because that's just what is moving through me the clearest at the moment. And it's landed with my audience. It hasn't landed with everyone. Some people aren't into that, but it's landed with the people who need to hear it. And then we become magnetic to the people who really need to hear what we have to say because we're radiating this essence of who we are and what we're about. And we're magnetic to the people who need to hear that. Marnie, I love seeing it like that, Con, that your audience are people. We forget that, don't we? It's so much more powerful. We just see them as numbers sometimes. Yeah, so much more powerful than thinking of it as numbers, says Marnie. Yeah. It's we all really need to like... Okay, do you apply any strategy to how you share or is it all intuitive? Look, I think my weakness, I would sometimes say, is that I'm not strategic enough and I'm probably too intuitive. I've gone very much the intuitive path rather than strategic. And I think I could bring in a little bit more strategy just to support me in how I run my business while still being primarily guided by my intuition. But I would say, yeah, pretty much everything's intuitive. Ooh, sounds disappearing. Hang on. There we go. It's pretty much all intuitive. And usually for me, if I was just to talk about how I share, say, a podcast or an Awaken Radio or a social media post. Oh, sorry. It's so dim. There's nothing I can do. Blah, 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 blah. Lighting. it's usually where just content drops in. Like a chunk of information or a feeling of something I'm moving through drops in and I feel the feeling to if I start writing it and the words come together in the really beautiful poetic way that I like to share things, I'm like, okay, cool, I've got a post. Like I'm at the moment, I sort of just wait. I've actually got something that's dropped in now that I've got sitting there, but I don't have an image for it yet. But yeah, it's intuitive. Strategic, let me think about strategy. What's been interesting for me is that sometimes my intuition can be strategic. Like when I started a podcast years ago, before anyone was podcasting, I didn't realize that having a podcast was actually a really great strategic thing to do because you can reach a lot of people, you can connect with other people, they share you with their audience if you interview them. And I was like, oh, this is a really strategic, cool thing to do, but it came to me just as an intuitive feeling. But I want to talk to people and record it. Let me think. Strategy. I don't do much that's strategic. I think I could definitely do more. Okay, like if you had some piece of what appears to be random information drop in that doesn't really seem relevant to what you share, would you share? Okay. If you had some piece of what appears to be random information drop in that doesn't really seem relevant to what you share, would you share? Interesting. This is a good question, actually, because maybe that's a place where I hold back. God, what the fuck is up with this lighting? It's shitting me to tears. Sorry, guys. Maybe that's a place I hold back. Maybe if I was to be really honest, maybe I'm being too discerning because maybe a lot drops in. And maybe I'm being too discerning in what I share because I want it to fit in to the types of messages I share. It's actually a good little point out there. So maybe I am strategic in that I'm probably quite deliberate and discerning in what pieces I'll put out and that I want it to fit in with, yeah, what I'm about. Probably. That probably happens a lot. Yeah. Okay, it's like I'm identifying this is where I'm holding back in my voice being heard in my business. Yeah. Yeah, I can see where I do that as well. And to your point, this is actually a really interesting realization. To your point, it's probably not as intuitive in that there's stuff that moves through me every day that I'm not sharing. Yeah, that I could be sharing. And that's where I'm holding back. Yeah, which is a really interesting thing for me to realize. Yeah, good point. Source guys. Day 27, Connie. Wow. Oh, give me a second. Deal with me today. All right. So this authenticity piece, this is actually, yeah, sorry, Kate, there's an interview on the Priestess podcast with Elle Swift about using social media soulfully and consciously. She talks about strategy there too, which I might find interesting. Yeah, this is a, want me to coach you, Kate? This is something I feel like I'm going to be exploring a little bit more, but I'm glad that we've dropped this in as a conversation. It's a really interesting thing to think about. I can't process it right in this moment, but I'm going to ponder what you brought up there because that's a really interesting point. All right, a final piece here. What else? Ooh, there's a lot in the workbook, which you can continue to work through. But I think the key thing I just want to finish up with here is about authenticity. You know, we talk about this so much, right? But what I ask you here in the workbook is, what does being authentic mean to you? And I'm even hearing, to Kate's point, that I'm not being authentic. I love the way when I teach something, I can have such interesting realizations at the same time. Because for me, I guess being authentic would be being less controlled and measured in how I share. And being more, letting more parts of me be seen and more parts of my message be heard, rather than the ones that I feel just fit in, you know, as Kate was kind of pointing out, to what I think, you know, people want to hear or make sense as part of being a part of my community. So interesting. What does being authentic mean to you? I think it's, yeah, to me, it's, there's more, it's being more free and more real and more revealed and less controlled and contrived in the way that I share things. Interesting. I'm landing on some realizations talking about this. What does it mean to you? And it's interesting how we hide and hold back things, isn't it? I can see that. Where are you wanting to practice being more authentic in your everyday life and also on your platform and your community? And moving through this personally as well. Definitely seeing the ways that I hold back things around, yeah, how I only show certain parts. I'm just getting that. That's happening for me personally too. Only show certain parts and then not revealing all of the parts out of concern around how they're going to be received. Yeah, I see that. I see that. Wow. I got some stuff to process. But look, this is me being authentic with you now. Like, I'm not going to sit up here and say I'm perfect. I'm very far from it. This is a beautiful conversation we're all having here because we're all teaching each other. You know, we've always got room to grow when it comes to sharing and expressing who we are. What parts of your authentic self do you hold back from sharing? What parts of yourself make you feel vulnerable to have them seen? And what true passions or ideas are you afraid to share? Even to Kate's point, I sometimes hold back on standing for things that I could stand for because they could polarize people. I probably hold back on that too, on being really opinionated, which actually if any good leader that you follow will be very fiercely opinionated about things. I've noticed that a lot. And that's something I'm not fully stepping into. Beautiful Marnie, I'm glad you're enjoying this conversation. Yeah, I want this to be like a conversation because it is, because I don't ever want to sit here on a pedestal and try to teach particularly these types of concepts because I'm so far from being on a pedestal around this. I think it's really nice that we just keep it as a real conversation. I feel like I'm in black. God, I'm funny today. I'm glad you're enjoying it as well, Kate. Thank you. Yeah, Marnie's having lots of realizations. Beautiful. I'm running a group coaching program for women at the moment. I've got 8 incredible women in there that I'm running. And I released a video for them today about love, self-love. And I was talking to them about wholeheartedly loving who you are. And I said to them, it's so interesting how all of the way we act, the ways that we act and show up is all about what gets me love. So let me do what gets me love and let me not do what loses me love. Love meaning recognition, validation, approval, attention, praise, belonging, connection. Literally, we are all driven by, let me do what gets me love and make sure I don't do what loses me love. That plays out everywhere. Because this question here, I'm like, what are you most worried would happen if you shared or showed certain parts of yourself? I mean, what came into my head then was people wouldn't like it. I would lose love. I would lose validation, attention, connection, praise. And I think that's what holds most of us back. But if I notice, and if you notice, the places where you've been able to move beyond that are the places like Kate's example too, or my example of doing the live, is where we make peace with that. And we say, okay, cool. In order to honor myself in this moment, to honor my truth, to show up in the way I feel called, I'm going to have to completely let go of needing your love and validation. I'm just going to have to love and validate myself. Because I remember with my live, I was like, Con, the mere fact that you're on here, like, props to you, sister. I fucking love you for that. You get my full praise and approval, no matter how this thing runs, just simply because you pressed go live. I don't care what anyone says about it. I just love you for the fact that you pressed go live. You know, and when we fully love and back and support ourselves in those moments, all we need is that from ourselves. And we can detach from whatever comes from that. You know, I'm saying this to myself at the moment because there are areas I need to look at this. We've become aware of that. What I found interesting is I asked this in the workbook. This is an interesting thing to think about is there someone in real life that you connect with where you feel the most at ease, the most authentic, the most free, the most yourself in your self-expression? What comes out in you? Who are you with this person and what qualities do you embody? What I realized, say my friends, or even you guys kind of see it as well, but my friends much more see all parts of me. They see the really funny Connie, like I'm really funny. They see like vulgar, like I can be a bit dirty. They see, you know, me when I'm fired up and angry. You know, my friend Danny last week saw me when I was a sulky bitch. You know, my friends see all sides of me. Whereas I realize my social media community pretty much see one side. Maybe sometimes they see a little bit more, but very much kind of one part of me. And isn't it interesting? Because I've realized that people that I follow and who I love, Peter Kelly's a great example. Tara Bliss is a pretty good example as well. They show all facets of them. And it's beautiful to see all those sides of a person. That's authenticity. And so if we can bring that same energy that we bring to the relationships where we feel the most at ease, then, and we can translate that to how we show up on our platforms, wow, we can build amazing relationships. I actually realized this with my live. The first live that I did was me trying to be perfect. So I was like, hello, Instagram community. I'm going to run a live for you today. And I was like, polish, polish, polish. The second one, once I relaxed, I felt like it was the real Connie. I was dropping F-bombs. I was laughing at myself. I was goofy. I was sweating. I was spitting everywhere. I was fired up and raging. And then I was like real and in my power. Like people saw all sides of me. And I was like, wow, that felt good. To be really seen. And I think that's what, you know, we're needing to find the courage to do more of. Okay, if we feel validated by ourselves, we don't need it as much from others. So true. It's like we fill up our validation cup in the same way as self-love. Yeah. Yeah. And even looking at those places where you don't validate yourself and instead you judge and criticize yourself for what you did. And then you can't stand in it and feel confident in it. Kate, I was so triggered last week where someone was getting validation where I wanted it. And I'm learning how to empty myself, how empty my self-validation cup has been. Thank you. Yeah. Acknowledgement, self-acknowledgement.
Yeah.
No, that's why you need to do more videos, Connie. I love watching you on Mondays. Where else would we get to see you stressing about the light? Yeah, I get pretty real here. I'm like, shit, I'm spinning because of my retainer, and I'm like stressing about the light, and like I'm premenstrual, or then you saw me when I was crying in a process. Like, this is where I feel the most free. And you've seen me, like, I don't ever want to show up on these calls and be perfect because it's bullshit. You know, we are all this beautiful community together, equal. And I think that's what people are craving in social media too. They don't want to follow someone who's up on a pedestal. They want to follow you because they feel like you're relatable to them. That's what I found. And yeah, I'm feeling the call with the videos, Mel. It's almost like these courses I've been running, both the mastermind and my group coaching program, have been a place for me to practice and feel safe, being seen as the real me. And I feel like my wider community haven't quite seen that side of me yet. And the live was the first time some people saw it. And a lot of people were like, kapow, Connie, whoa, you're so different. And I'm like, no, I'm not really different. You just haven't seen me like this before. I'm just being real. I'm not trying to be anything. So I definitely, yeah, I'm getting the calling to really be tearing down anything that is controlled and perfection-y and, yeah, and just be like much more real. We love it. I've seen it on the group coaching calls that we've had, and I hosted yesterday a group coaching call for my women's program. And we were talking about this, these eight incredible women, about how so often they're playing roles and wearing masks and being perfect. Yet on our call, they were all there, walls down, emotional, crying, revealing their deepest weaknesses and pains and fears. And I said to them, how different would our call be if we all showed up here on the call trying to be perfect? Hi, my name's so-and-so, and this is what I do, and I'm really enjoying this course. Like, if we all came in, I'm saying this to the women, with our masks on, being perfect, not revealing who we really are, I said, what a shit boring call that would be. There'd be no connection. There'd be no heart, you know?
Fuck me, man.
It's time to get used to swearing if you want to be in my community. Yeah, and then I use soz and peeps, which is how I talk with my friends. It's so unprofessional. Oh, God, I just can't stop laughing. Oh, what am I even saying? You get the drift. Okay. Yeah, I was saying about the women. And if we didn't know sharp, raw, and real, we'd have nothing. There'd just be nothing. How would we possibly connect? So look, just think about how you want to bring more of this real, raw, honest, vulnerable self to people and to your audience. And really think about as well, like, you know, like I'm saying, I've got to own more parts of myself. Just because I'm showing up as sort of a wise coach, guide, mentor, doesn't mean that I can't be, like, I'm doing a lot of exploration at the moment around my sexuality, which I'm not talking about publicly, but it's a massive part of who I am. And I'm doing stuff around relationships, and I'm doing stuff around, you know, there's just so many facets to who we are as people. And what I'm feeling called to do, and maybe what is part of the work for each of you as well, is like, let's just let all these parts of ourselves be seen, if that's what you feel called to do. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. So work through the workbook there. There's a lot of kind of stuff that will help you get clarity based on whether you have a platform already or whether you want to set one up. I hope that this conversation has also been supportive for you. I appreciate you all sharing and letting me know where you're at and how you're working through things. We're all in the trenches doing this together. And I would say to you, if you don't have a platform, think about what you'd like to set up. Thanks, Tash. Thank you for being here. Beautiful to connect with you. If you don't have a platform, think about what you want to set up. Come and share with us in the group if you're going to set up something new. Marty, typing one-handed. Thank you, Connie and Everton. Everton's my little friend on my shoulder. She meant everyone, but she's typing one-handed, she says. Come and share whatever platform you want to set up and let us support you. if you already have platforms, come and share them in the group. If we're not all following you yet on your Instagram, your Facebook, if you have a YouTube channel, if you have a website, let us all come and support you. Think about if you don't have a platform, what your intention is for what you want to create. If you do have a platform, what's the next step? And how can you get it, as to Tasha's point, working for you in a way that feels good to you and feels aligned? And Kate, you've given me a lot to reflect on around really my authenticity on my platforms too, something I'm really working through. There's always places to stretch and grow here. And so I think we've just got to sort of be pushing ourselves a little to be like, okay, what is the next evolution of this platform? Or how can I get it feeling good for me? Or how can I connect with my audience in a deeper way? Or what messages am I holding back sharing? Why? There's a lot to explore. Marnie's saying, I've got a lot I'm going to be doing reflection on today. Beautiful. I'm glad. All right, loves. I hope you've enjoyed this masterclass. Feels like we're in the pitch black. Hope you're enjoying it. Kate feels like she's got a lot to reflect on too. Beautiful. So glad you loved it. I loved it too. All right, I will upload it for you today. And let's get going on our April videos. Maybe I'll go live in our group about that. But yeah, let's get started working on April videos. So intentions for April, what you want to focus on, what you want to create. Tasha's coming up on video. Hello, love. Oh, so gorgeous. So nice to see you. How are you going?
I'm actually feeling really good.
Good. Oh. He's my like, little man. What are you doing to me?
He timed that perfectly. He woke up just towards the end, so.
Oh, did he? He's going to see me. He's going to be like, feed me, mummy. I'm glad you're feeling well.
That's why I could only type one hand. Thank you so much, Connie. That was awesome. Thank you.
Okay. I got muddled in the comments, but no, my pleasure, love. And thank you for everything you shared as well, because really beautiful things that you're bringing up that I think a lot of people will relate to. Awesome. Keep enjoying that beautiful time and just take everything at your own pace, particularly with this course, like just move through it.
Oh, feels right. I'm actually looking forward to getting stuck into the workbook. That'll be my little challenge when he goes to bed today.
Beautiful. And just have fun with it. Just play in that and see what comes out for you.
Thank you.
Beautiful. My pleasure. Really nice to see you. All right, guys. Love you all. Let's talk soon, okay? I'll see you in the April videos. Bye.